teaches us the science of living in harmony with truth. When we violate from this principle, such suffering and conflict comes upon us. Krishna tells in the fourth chapter of Gita, when you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living beings are in me and they are mine. This truth is revealed by the spiritual master on the basis of the scriptures and the authority of the great saintly persons who have lived on the basis of such truth. Srila Prabhupada explains that the sun is the source of everything within this universe. Source of everything that we can see is the source of all light. Jiva Goswami tells us there are 7 different shades of light emanating from the sun. And darkness itself, its origin is the sun, in the sense that we cannot have darkness unless we have the sun itself. Darkness means the absence of the sun. So therefore it has relationship to the sun. Just as shadow is dependent on light to exist. Aham sarvasya prabhavam mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvata. Krishna tells he is the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from him. To understand how everything and everyone is related to Krishna is knowledge. That is the absolute truth. All material and spiritual worlds are emanation of the various energies of the Lord. But he is the ultimate energetic source of everything. This is to be Krishna conscious. To be conscious through realization of our relationship with Krishna at all times and all circumstances and in all places. Sri Kapila Dev tells us that of all the injunctions and instructions of all scriptures, they are all meant to support, facilitate, and bring about the understanding of the 2 most essential of all lessons: to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Arjuna was bewildered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra because he could not understand what is Krishna's plan. He was trying to resolve his dilemma on the basis of his own profound intelligence. This world is a battlefield that we are all standing upon. The problems of birth, old age, disease, and death, and the multifarious subdivisions within these categories are full of perplexities and complexities. And since time immemorial, scientists, philosophers, technologists, sociologists have tried to figure out an answer, a solution, without success. But when Arjuna turned to Krishna to hear from him, the master of all mystics, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of all that exists, then his real life in pursuit of truth was revealed. This material existence is such a sophisticated apparatus full of complexities. We can judge an ocean's quality by sampling one drop. So if you want to understand to the extent this ocean of material existence is complicated, simply analyze the infinitesimal tiny drop of your own mind. How complicated is this mind? How restless, turbulent, unpredictable, and unsteady. Even the greatest psychologists, psychiatrists, cannot fathom the extent in which the restless mind can wander. At any moment, in any place, Arjuna inquired from Krishna that it seems that to control this mind is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. How is it possible? To always remember Krishna and to never forget Krishna is the only real solution. But what does it mean to always remember Krishna? It means to understand the science of everything's relationship with Krishna. And the proper utilization, the proper way we reciprocate with Krishna according to time, place, and circumstance. Srila Rupa Goswami has taught us that if something can be used in the service of Krishna, to not utilize it considering it to be material, is incomplete renunciation. Full understanding of renunciation is how everything could be used in the service of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami, great Acharya, established his principle by his own example. Personally, he lived so simple. He was such a very, very wealthy, famous and successful minister in the government. And for the cause of service to God and humanity, he left it all behind to live in the forests of Vrindavan, sleeping under a different tree every night. But when the opportunity came, a great general under the king volunteered to utilize his potentials in Krishna's service. Sri Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, fully encouraged and utilized that. The most magnificent temple in all of northern India, Sri Radha Govinda Dev, was built. Such a beautiful, beautiful structure. It is difficult to imagine what it must have looked like when it was brand new, 7 stories high. Even now, people come from all over the world to see it. It's over 400 years old, and it has been defaced, and also cut down by 3 or 4 stories by foreign invaders. But Sri Rupa Goswami understood that everything is ultimately the property of Krishna. Therefore, why not utilize it for the pleasure of Krishna and to help the world understand Krishna's glory? Man is given intelligence by Krishna, but we have our free will of how to utilize that intelligence. Krishna says, I am the ability in man, the intelligence of the intelligent, the strength of the strong. Whatever we have is by the grace of God. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma karataham iti mandyate. It is ignorance based on the false ego to think that anything is mine or that I am the doer. Eventually, this disposition creates great embarrassment because everything will be taken away by the power of time. How thorough, complete does Krishna work through the energy of time? It is a very deep, incredible subject matter to analyze what is time. We have a superficial conception. We look at the clock, or we look at our watch, and we think we know what time it is. But really, what is this power of time that is all pervading within this material creation? How it is working? It's not working on the basis of the ticking of the hands of your watch. It is working imperceptibly, invisibly, in the background of everything. But how it affects everything and everyone. If we study history, history is the subject of dead people. Some are great, some are insignificant. Some are good, some are bad. Some have done wonderful things and some have done horrible things. Many lessons to be learned. But everyone, everything is being washed away by the waves of time. And for a saintly person, he sees or she sees human society, however developed it may be, to be foolish children, just building their little empires, all to be washed away by the waves of time. For what? In Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains that actually ourselves, our wealth, our families, our everything, when we look at it from an objective point of view, from the point of view of eternity, it is all bubbles, foaming bubbles, floating on the surface of this material existence. And at any moment, those bubbles will burst into oblivion. Srila Prabhupada very strikingly uses language to try to wake us out of our lethargy. He says that this life that we identify with is really nothing more than a dead body flapping for a few moments only. This is literally true. The body is always dead. There's no life in the body itself. It's dead matter. But when the energy of God in the form of the soul enters into the body, it makes the body flap. The eyelids flap, the mouth flaps, the heart flaps, everything's flapping. As the soul is present within it, it's energizing this dead body. in relation to eternity. Our 80, 90, or 100 years is hardly a moment. And when the soul leaves this body, the dead body can flap no longer. It is of no use. Time, so powerful it is. Brings everyone to the same equal state. There may be many castes, many divisions within society based on birth, race, religion, caste, economic considerations. Whether you're burned in fire or whether there's elegant memorial built for you, your body it is all equal. Srila Prabhupada gave the example during the battles between the Hindus and the Muslims at the time of partition of India and Pakistan. So many thousands and thousands of people were killed. So many dead bodies. There wasn't even a consideration of distinction. They would just pile them all up and dispose of them. So what is of real value? This must be analyzed in reference to the power of time. As Krishna explains in 11th chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, that he is time. Within this material existence, time is the controller of everyone. Time is imperceptibly devouring everything. Young people have a great, very difficult task in grasping this concept, because their perception of life in a particular body is quite new. And we're always looking to the future. Young people do not look to the past so much. They're mostly looking and waiting for the opportunities of the future. When will the school vacation come? When will I grow up and go to school? And then, when will I ride my bicycle? When will I be able to play cricket like all these other big people? So much waiting for opportunities. And then you go to school, you're waiting for the vacation so you can play. And you grow up more. And you're waiting to graduate so that you can develop a career. You're waiting to get married. Such opportunity. So it just seems that life is just offering everything in the future. But by the power of time, if you're fortunate, you get to grow old. Some people never make it that long in this world. Adam padam yad vipadam nitesham. Because there is danger at every step. But you talk to older people. They're very much inclined to think of the past. What I used to do, what I used to be, how things were in those days, the good old days. Because you see that in front of you, those expectations, those mysteries, no longer stand. Rather, you see old age just creeping in, and it's getting worse. And then you see how death is rapidly approaching. The power of time. The greatest of the Himalayan mountains will become dust. The great oceans will dry up. The stars in the sky will perish. And what is our little lifetime in comparison to those objects within our creation? Modern management in business and in other such professional fields teach us that success is based on how we manage our time. This is a spiritual principle. Everything has its relationship with Krishna, because Krishna is the origin of all that exists. Janmad yasha yataha. How to utilize our God-given intelligence to discriminate, discern, evaluate the dualities of the phenomena around us in such a way that we will make progress. Progress toward the real aim of life. The first fundamental principle of Sri Bhagavad Gita is that the soul is beyond time. Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yogaram jara tatha dehantara praptya dhirastatra namuyate. The body is always changing, from childhood to youth to old age. But the soul remains the same. Najayate mriyate vakadachit. For the soul, there is no birth, there is no death. The powers of time, the power of God, is devouring everything on the relativistic material plane. Why? Why is it like that? You cannot figure it out. And I cannot figure it out. But the Creator has revealed it to us. Because this material existence is not our natural place. It is not the place where the love and the happiness that we are all longing for can be experienced. If the resources and facilities of this material world were everlasting, then we may never make the right decision in life to enter again into our constitutional blissful nature. The spirit soul is Satchidananda. It is eternal. It is full of knowledge and full of bliss. That is real life. That is where there is real hope and real ecstasy. The soul is looking for ecstasy. There may be some temporary pleasure in this world, but there is no ecstasy. So we must lose our faith in the hope of happiness in this world in order to actually turn to where real happiness is, in the eternal soul's relationship with God. Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas are very strong on this principle. Unless we give up the false hope that real happiness can be found by the interaction of the body, the senses, and their objects within this mortal world, we cannot fully take shelter of the path of perfection, of God and our relationship with God. Padam padam yadvi padam nitesham. When we say there is danger at every step, it is not simply to put people in anxiety, because everyone's already in anxiety. This is kunta. Material existence is a place of anxieties. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But how long will it last? In the Western world, the happy moments of marriage, everyone's smiling and throwing rice on each other. But then a few years later, often we see they're throwing a lot more than rice on each other. Bitterness. So many unexpected conditions come that may put us in anxiety. And ultimately, old age, disease, and death is full of anxieties. And ultimately, that's what we must look forward to. But there is something else. There is reality. There is truth. And to understand this relativistic world and life under the powers of time in relationship to truth makes life meaningful and blissful. We do not neglect the body. Nor do we neglect the wonderful gifts of God within this world. But we understand their temporary nature, and we understand our eternal nature and the purpose we have. And we could utilize the gifts of the world to serve that purpose. The path of bhakti is not the path of rejection. It's the path of proper utilization. And this is the proper utilization of our intelligence. This is Krishna consciousness. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all attractive. The reservoir of all beauty. His blissful form is the embodiment of all qualities that the heart longs to love and to serve. Every moment we should be making progress toward reunion with Krishna. This world, the source of all suffering, is our consciousness is separated from the truth that the eternal soul is part and parcel, the eternal loving servant of Krishna. The source of all suffering is we're trying to exploit and enjoy the resources of this material existence futilely. As Krishna in the form of time is gradually bringing us to the point of frustration and death, but to a self-realized soul, there is no death. Vasamsijinaniyatabihaya. Death is the change of clothes. And if we live our life in devotion, what a wonderful benediction is waiting for us. Eternal spiritual body in this spiritual world to everlastingly assist the divine pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. We must have faith in this reality and live for that reality. In separation from Krishna, the most blessed opportunity to actually experience His presence is in the assembly of devotees chanting His holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare.
Lord Chaitanya taught us this principle. He taught us the principle that has been revealed in the holy scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam describes Kalera Dosanide Rajan Asti Heka Mahanguna Kirtanad Eva Krishna Sya. That in the age of Kali, which is an ocean of faults, there is one benediction that Krishna has descended in his name. Krishna makes himself accessible in his name, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in this world for 48 years. The first 24 years are called the Adi Lila, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Navadvip, performing his childhood pastimes, and later on as a grihasta. The next 24 years after he accepted the renounced order are called the Shesha Lila. Shesha Lila is divided into two parts. For 6 years, he traveled to South India, to Vrindavan, and other places. And the next 18 years are called the Antya Lila. The time when he traveled is called Madhya Lila. 6 years Madhya Lila, 18 years of Antya Lila, where he remained in Jagannath Puri amongst his devotees. Every year, his devotees from various lands would come to Jagannath Puri. Most of them were grihasthas, but still, they dedicated 4 months of their time to just remain with Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. We have such a difficult time just extracting 2 weeks to go on a yatra. When the yatra is 2 weeks to Vrindavan or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri, it's very, very difficult to get away for that long. But every year, as a regulation, they had their yatra, their Jagannath Puri yatra, for 4 months. And that 4 months was not including the traveling time. 4 months they would be there at the yatra site. And traveling, they did not have the inconvenience of airplanes and railway systems. They had the wonderful convenience of walking. And actually, from Navadvip, Shantipur, Kulinagram, Shikanda, these places to Jagannath Puri, it's about equal Bombay to Vrindavan. They would walk happily, no problem. That's the nature of life. The more you have things, the more you feel you need them and you can't live without them. Because now we have cars and trains and planes, now we think we need them. But when they didn't have those things, nobody knew about them, so nobody needed them. They would just happily walk. Arivo. And it doesn't appear that life was full of such hardships because they didn't have those conveyances. May have taken a little more time, but they were with devotees, they were taking prasad, they were chanting, speaking about Krishna all the way. It was wonderful. I'm sure they were enjoying life many times more then these people crowded in the trains going from Borivali to Bombay Central or whatever. They were walking. They would arrive just before the Rath Yatra. After the Snan Yatra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling such intense separation from Lord Jagannath. Krishna appears within the temple as the Archa Vigraha. Some people say, what is the need of a deity in the temple? God is everywhere. I am seeing God everywhere. People like to talk so many things, especially here in India. I see God everywhere. I feel God everywhere. I'm with God everywhere. What is the need of a temple? Yes, Krishna is in everything. You are seeing God everywhere. But how are you seeing God? And even more important, how is He seeing you? Ye yatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna reveals Himself according to how we approach Him. We are seeing the energies of God everywhere. And the energies are non-different from God because Bhagavan is the source of the energies. The energies are emanations. But are we actually seeing Krishna, the personality of Godhood? We are seeing the external, illusory energy of the Lord. Therefore, Krishna is so merciful, so kind. He appears within the temple in such a way that we could actually meditate on His original Supreme Personality. We can actually be conscious that He is like the sun and all the diversified energies are emanating from Him. And we could worship Him and pray to love Him with all our hearts. Are people actually worshiping their bed or their couch with all their hearts? Haribo. But they're saying, yes, I see God in everything. But when we understand the source of everything, Krishna, by worshiping Him in the temple, then we can understand how to use our beds and our couches and our bodies and our families and all of our other conveyances in such a way that Krishna is pleased. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw Lord Jagannath in the temple, he was seeing the Supreme Absolute Truth. He was seeing Krishna. Sometimes when he would be looking upon Lord Jagannath, not imagination, but Jagannath would manifest himself in his threefold bending form playing on a flute. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would weep incessant tears of love. He would stand at the Garuda Stamba, and there was a place at the Garuda Stamba that was
practically constantly filled with the tears of the love of his eyes as he would be seeing Lord Jagannath. Now, when the British came to India, some of their political leaders, when they saw the Rath Yatra, they were horrified. Can you believe that? They were actually horrified. There are descriptions within their writings of what they saw. Too blasphemous to repeat. But when Lord Chaitanya and his devotees were seeing Lord Jagannath, their hearts were melting in ecstasy. They were seeing the ultimate embodiment of all beauty and grace. They were seeing Krishna. After the Snan Yatra, for approximately a fortnight, Lord Jagannath goes into seclusion where the Dayatas and Dayatapatis take care of him. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was feeling such immense separation. In his Shikshastakam, he prays, Shunyayatam jagat saravam Govinda vire hiname. That bereft of the sight of Govinda, the whole world and all of its variegatedness appears like an empty, dreary void. When will that day come when we can have such realization? He was seeing Krishna in separation from Krishna. He would go to Alalanath. Where there was a beautiful deity of Lord Krishna. To somehow or other bring pacification from his separation to Lord Jagannath. But even there, he was burning in such separation. Many of you have seen, there is the hard stone platform that he would lay on. And is in the intensity of his love and separation, the stone melted. And even today you can see the limbs of the Lord's body imprinted within that stone. But what pacified him? Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he tells us that the message came to the Lord that all the devotees have arrived from their journey from Bengal and other provinces. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy, he was so eager to be amongst the devotees. Why? Because of the activities that the devotees performed together. As soon as they met, and throughout the entire 4 months, practically their exclusive engagement was the congregational chanting of the holy names. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting and sometimes dancing in the association of his devotees, his heart was completely satisfied, pacified, because he was feeling in the most wonderful way the presence of Lord Jagannath, of Lord Krishna. This is the Yuga Dharma. It is the means by which Krishna reveals himself in such a simple and wonderful way to everyone. The congregational chanting of the holy names. Krishna has invested all of his powers, potencies within his name. Krishna is non-different than his name. He incarnates within his name. And according to the consciousnesses in which we chant, Krishna reveals himself within his name. Srimati Radharani reveals herself through her holy name. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally chanted this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare is the name of Sri Radha, and Krishna Rama is Krishna himself. When we worship this Maha Mantra, we are directly in the presence of Sri Radha Gopinath. And that presence purifies our hearts and awakens the innate love within each of us. We can find ultimate shelter in our life by sincerely chanting the holy names. But we must chant under proper guidance, with proper disposition, a disposition of service. Lord Chaitanya has bestowed upon this world supreme grace, one precious jewel that he blessed us with is the verse Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Iva Seshnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahadi. We should chant the holy name with the type of humility that is found in a blade of grass. With the tolerance of that of a tree, if we're actually humble, if we're actually tolerant, then it will be natural for us to offer all respects to others and expect none in return. To the extent we live by these principles, Krishna manifests himself in his name. And then we cannot stop chanting the holy names. It becomes our nature. In this world, practically every moment of our life, we are being brainwashed. Haribo. George Harrison, who was the guitar player of the most famous band in modern history, the Beatles, just before he left this world, not long before, he wrote and recorded a song entitled Brainwashed. Haribo. In fact, it has just been released, and I saw the words for it. He's just talking about the whole process of brainwashing. He learned this from Srila Prabhupada also. One of the greatest obstructions to the Hare Krishna movement in the 1970s was that certain sectors of American and European society were accusing the devotees of being brainwashed and brainwashing others. Haribo. Srila Prabhupada, when he heard that we were being accused of brainwashed, we're brainwashed and we're brainwashing others, he said, everyone's mind is so dirty. Everyone's brains are so filthy with the stool-like objects of material desires. What is the harm if we wash it? He explains that we're brainwashed by the schools, we're brainwashed by relatives, we're brainwashed by the press, we're brainwashed by the media, we're brainwashed by the advertising agencies. Just at every step, people are somehow or other trying to reconfirm the misconception that you are the body, you are the enjoyer, you are the proprietor. How to recondition ourselves to our natural state. That we are Sachidananda. We are lovers of Krishna. This world is a wonderful and beautiful place when we see it in relationship to Krishna. Otherwise, we have to use so many imaginative processes to try to conceive of this world as a beautiful place. But it is a beautiful place if we see Krishna in it. It is our nature to love Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that if we have this disposition of humility and service, then as we chant the holy names of Krishna, we become reconditioned. Cheto darpanam marajanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. Our hearts become cleansed. We become purified. When you are in a diseased condition, we take medicine to bring ourselves back to our natural state of health. Medicine is not meant to create an artificial condition. Medicine is meant to bring you back to your natural condition. Disease is not the way you're supposed to be. But in this world, we are all diseased. So the medicine is the holy names. When we have the proper attitude, then Krishna manifests himself within his name. And we become so enlivened, so inspired to continue to chant. And in the association of devotees, when everyone is encouraging one another to create an environment where there is no other purpose than absorbing oneself in the holy names, the there is no more wonderful place to experience Krishna than that. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spent the next 12 years with his devotees, just chanting and dancing as his primary lesson to the world. But we must be very well aware of the proper attitude of life that we must have. Otherwise, we become bewildered and we even lose our taste for the holy name. There are many very important examples of this principle. I will cite one for your pleasure. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bestowed great mercy upon one of his followers, Sri Lokanath Goswami. Sri Lokanath Goswami he became the spiritual master of Sri Narottam Das Thakur. One of the greatest scholars of the Brahmin community in that area of East Bengal was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. He realized that all this academic study of the scriptures is bearing no real fruit. The real purpose of life is to love Krishna. And that can only come by the mercy of Krishna, which comes through his devotees. So he offered his life in the service of Narottam Das Thakur. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti had wife, her name was Vishnupriya. And they had a daughter of the name Krishnapriya. Now this Krishnapriya was such a great devotee. Very, very great devotee. It is explained that disciple of Ganga Narayan was Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti, and his disciple was Sri Radha Raman Chakravarti, whose disciple was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now, this Sri Krishna Charan, disciple Narottam Das Thakur, or Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, he had a disciple named Rupa Kaviraj. He traveled to Vrindavan with his Guru Maharaj and served his Guru very, very nicely. He was also a very learned scholar, and he wanted to utilize his scholarship to really understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So with the blessings of his spiritual master, he remained in Braj Bhumi at Radha Kund, where he studied under a direct associate of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami of the name Mukunda Das. Mukunda Das was such a pure soul. He was so blessed by Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So blessed by Raghunath Das Goswami. In fact, he was blessed with such a sacred gift, which I will explain. One devotee came from Vrindavan to Puri and gave Lord Chaitanya a rock from Govardhan Hill. For several years, Lord Chaitanya personally worshipped that Govardhan Shila with such love because he saw that it was the body of Krishna. He would bathe that Shila with the tears of his ecstatic emotions. Seeing the sincerity of the renunciation and devotion of Raghunath Das Goswami, he gave that most precious and dear object of his heart to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami did not concern himself for any other type of deity. He was fully immersed in satisfaction, worshipping the small Govardhan Shila that the Lord had given him. He worshipped Giriraj on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. Throughout his life, in his very old age, just before leaving this world, he gave Govardhan Shila to Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who was his very sincere disciple and student. Every day on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, Raghunath Das Goswami would narrate the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya for several hours, because he was a personal eyewitness of those pastimes. Every day, Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami would sit and hear. He would take notes and remember whatever was spoken. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say about our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, because you hear nicely, therefore you will speak very nicely. And Srila Prabhupada explained, this is actually the qualification of spiritual master. That we hear submissively and attentively, and we repeat those words. And we follow in our life what we have heard. When we follow and we repeat as it is, then those words are impregnated with the divine potency of the Supreme Absolute, Sri Krishna. They can transform a person's heart. So the devotees of Vrindavan, they approached Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. That you have heard it all, but it should be put in the form of a literature. So that the teachings and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are recorded for people generations and generations and generations to come to be benefited by. Previously, great sages and rishis and acharyas would speak the Vedas. But at the coming of Kali Yuga, the Lord incarnated as Vyasadev to actually write down, to record in such writing the eternal message of the Lord. That is the Vedas, the holy scriptures. Bhagavad Gita. Sanjay was sitting in the palace of Dhritarashtra. But by the mercy of his Guru Maharaj, Vedavyas, he was actually able to see what was happening in Kurukshetra. And he was repeating what he was speaking. But then Vedavyas himself wrote it all down for our benefit. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami considered himself so unqualified. But on the command of the devotees and with the confirmation of Sri Madan Mohan, he wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was so dear to Raghunath Das Goswami that the Govardhan Shila, the worshipable form of the Lord, of Lord Chaitanya, was given to him. Mukunda Das served Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and served the Vaishnavas with such attention, with such devotion, with such genuine sincerity. He was so eager to hear, eager to speak Harikatha. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, before leaving this world, entrusted the worship of Sri Govardhan Shila to him. Mukunda Das worshipped Giriraj as his life and soul. He was gentle, kind, compassionate to all living beings. When there is false ego, then the natural flow of the compassion of the soul is blocked and rechanneled in various unwholesome directions. But when the soul is pure, when the soul inspires not to enjoy, but to be enjoyed, not to exploit, but to serve, then the natural flow of the soul's compassion is directed toward everyone and anyone. It is God's compassion. That was Mukunda Das. When he was in his old age, he was actually training up this Rup Kaviraj. And Rup Kaviraj became very, very learned under his direction and became very, very advanced spiritually to the extent that he was exhibiting symptoms of love of God, prema. Krishna Priya, the daughter of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, with the blessings of her parents, she came to Vrindavan and also would attend the lectures of Mukunda Das on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. She had such a gentle, motherly disposition. She was a true Vaishnava. Mukunda Das became very sick on one occasion, and Krishna Priya Thakurani, she put him on such a nice diet. She would prepare special meals for him in such a way that he recovered very quickly. It wasn't what she prepared, but it was the way she prepared. She was just so humble. She was such a selfless servant. She was so kind that Mukunda Das considered that the way she takes care of me is as if she is my own mother. Now, due to that loving motherly service that she rendered to Mukunda Das, and she actually had that type of compassion toward everyone. Of all the great mahants, of all the great sages and sadhus and brijvasis that were coming to learn from Mukunda Das at Radha Kund, he made his decision to give Govardhan Shila to Krishna Priya Thakurani. Babaji's, sannyasis, sadhus were coming to learn from him. But because of her gentle, kind, motherly service, because of her humility, her devotion, her attachment to hearing the glories of the Lord, and her attachment to chanting the holy names of the Lord, he bestowed this rarest benediction upon her. But she had no pride. She simply wanted to hear from others and serve others. So Rup Kaviraj, he could speak so eloquently from Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Priya Thakurani came to hear him speak. As she came in, many devotees welcomed her and offered her all respects. But Rupa Kaviraj, something like Roma Harshan Sutta, he was sitting on the asana, so he did not give any credibility to her. He just went on with his recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. As he was speaking, he became extremely disturbed. It is very dangerous to have a high position, because the tendency of false pride is very subtle, and it can create an acute reaction. So in anger, he chastised Krishna Priya Thakurani as she was just sitting there on the floor at his feet, happily listening to him. He said to her that, "I see that you are moving your lips and your tongue, chanting as I am speaking. How can you do two things at one time? How can you attentively hear from me and at the same time be chanting Krishna's holy names?" With all humility and honesty, she replied. She said, "Actually, my mouth is conditioned to chant the holy names. I simply cannot stop chanting the holy names. My tongue is always moving in this way. But honestly, it does not in any way take my attention away from hearing you. Whatever you speak, I'm in rapt attention, listening." Upon hearing this, Rupa Kaviraj entered into a state of furious anger. But he didn't speak anymore. But everyone could see what a demeaning disposition he had toward this virtuous lady. At that moment, because of his envy toward a devotee, Krishna's mercy was withdrawn. When Krishna withdraws his mercy, then there is nothing we have to sustain our spiritual existence. This is the power of an offense to a devotee, born of false pride. Rupa Kaviraj lost his effulgence, and more he began to consider himself a very important person. Try to hear carefully. This is the result of offenses. When we think we're very great, when we think we're better than others, when we think that we are of great significance in comparison to other living beings, a real Vaishnav receiving the mercy of Krishna understands the greatness of Krishna and takes great pleasure in Krishna's greatness and realizes his or her own insignificance and dependence on that greatness. Srila Prabhupada used example that when a little child is fearful, it takes shelter of parents. Sometimes a little child sees something or hears something fearful And when the child goes to sleep at night, very much becomes worried about that. And runs to the bed of the mother or the father to sleep next to them. Has any of your children ever done that? In fear. And when they're laying next to their parents, they become completely fearless because they know my parents will protect me. Haribo. They might be afraid of a big man-eating monster, but when they're next to their mother, no fear. As if man-eating monsters cannot eat their mother. But somehow or other, that sense of protection is there. Dependence. When a child is holding the hand of the father, nothing can hurt me now. That means dependence. We become independent of the fears and miseries of this material existence to the extent we become dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. I think it was 1976. It was the 200th anniversary of the United States of America gaining independence on the 4th of July. 4th of July is Independence Day. And even today, they make so many fireworks to celebrate our independence. It's a national holiday. That's one thing America and India has in common. We became independent of the British. Heard about this. Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, we are celebrating our dependence on Krishna. They have declared independence, but we are declaring dependence. When we are depending on Krishna, we are independent of the three modes of material nature. We are independent of Krishna's power of all devouring time. So Krishna Priya Thakurani, she was a pure devotee. She was utterly humble because she was not thinking, I am great. She is thinking, Guru is great. The Vaishnavas are great. Sri Radharani and Sri Krishna are great. And I am completely depending upon their mercy. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he prayed in this way, that I am a lame man, and to walk upon this path of bhakti is only possible with the stick, with the help of the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas. When you are lame, you are dependent on that stick. Sometimes people criticize devotees that you are attached to using your religion as a crutch. Have you heard this? You should not be dependent on these crutches. This chanting of the holy names, this worship of the deity is just crutch. Well, foolish people, they don't realize that spiritually they are lame. You need a crutch. Humility is to admit it. and to find shelter in that crutch. That was Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Because then you could walk forward toward life's perfection. People in this world may be running very fast. Toward material prosperity. But spiritually, invalids, lame and getting nowhere. So we need the help. We are dependent on the mercy of devotees, Guru and Krishna. Queen Kunti prayed, Janmaishwaraya Shruti Shubir Edamanamadapuman. There are four great disqualifications for spiritual progress. High birth, great wealth, physical beauty, and high education. Everyone in this world wants these things. We see within the class today, there are many, many students who are putting so much energy into their studies to become learned. Queen Kunti is saying it is a disqualification. And amongst those who are older than the students, most of you are working very, very hard for wealth. Queen Kunti said it is a disqualification. So what are we living for? And people are very proud of being high birth. And everyone likes to be beautiful. I don't know why, but somehow or other people all want to be beautiful. According to one's particular karma, you have a certain type of body. But everyone wants to somehow make it more beautiful. There's whole industries of selling you in various ways, various items, to give you the illusion that you're beautiful. The soul is beautiful, but the body's beauty, how long will it last? But Queen Kunti tells us that these material qualifications cause the conditioned soul to be proud. And when you are proud, you feel yourself independent. When you are proud, you cannot actually take shelter of Krishna. You cannot feelingly cry out His holy name. Now this does not mean you should quit your jobs and drop out of school. It means you should pursue your studies or your occupation in a proper disposition, in a service attitude. We should pursue it with humility. We should pursue it understanding the reality that I'm completely dependent on the mercy of Krishna. And everything belongs to Krishna. And therefore we use our wealth, or we use our education, or we use our influence in society, or even our beautiful bodies we use them in Krishna's service. Without false prestige. Then all of these assets become ornamentations on our bhakti rather than diversions from our bhakti. Krishna Priya, because she was completely depending on Krishna, because she was earnestly taking shelter of Krishna at every moment, therefore her tongue would never stop chanting the holy names. It was conditioned. She was so attached to chanting. I have seen devotees, even while sleeping sometimes, you hear them, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. Not always, but sometimes. They're sleeping. Then you just, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They're just conditioned to chant. Just recently, our Madhurya Leela, Radha Krishna Prabhu and Palika Mataji's daughter, she had major surgery under anesthesia. Is that what it's called? Anesthetics? It makes you very unconscious. But as soon as consciousness started coming, before consciousness even started coming, Jai Radhe, Hare Krishna, immediately the name of Krishna. Conditioned to remember Krishna, conditioned to chant the names of Krishna. We want to become attached to chanting Hare Krishna, dependent on the names of Krishna. We have seen devotees driving in car, and all of a sudden the car falls off a mountain. And one devotee says, help! And the other devotee just spontaneously goes, Hare Krishna! He's not in that split second moment of falling off a mountain in a car. You're not intellectually deciding, what should I think of at this moment? You don't have time. It's instinctive what you think of. In India, you have seen big trucks start coming right at you and you're just about to hit them. And you can't intellectually start philosophizing, what is the best thing to think of at this moment? If we are actually conditioned, if we are actually cultured and cultivated to take shelter of Krishna, then spontaneously the name of Krishna will just emanate from your very heart through your mouth. And the time of death, it can happen gradually or it can happen suddenly. We do not know. Even your astrologer does not really know. He can give some estimations. But unless we really, really cultivate that attachment and dependence on the holy name of Krishna, we will not be able to chant at the time of death. So her tongue could not stop chanting Hare Krishna. And even when she was publicly insulted, she felt no malice, no envy in her heart. A devotee thinks, whatever bad anyone says about me, I'm worse. She just sat and continued to chant the holy names and hear the Bhagavatam. But because Krishna was displeased with Rupa Kaviraj, because he has inflicted negativity upon his devotee, he withdrew his mercy. And we are all dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And what happened? As soon as he withdrew his mercy, Rupa Kaviraj became more and more proud, more and more puffed up by false ego. And when you become more puffed up, more and more offenses to others. And then he got leprosy. His effulgence disappeared. He lost all his ability to digest prasad. And when digestion is not good, you become subjected to so many diseases. And soon, his very flesh was being eaten away by the disease of leprosy. And how he suffered. And everybody knew why. Except him! He was still proud. He had to leave Vrindavan because no one would give him any respect anymore. So he went back to his spiritual master in Bengal. And his spiritual master knew exactly why he was suffering. Even he could not give him shelter. Why? Because he was not begging forgiveness. He was not in a humble position. If you are not humble, even if shelter is there, you cannot receive it. So then he went to Orissa. And even though he was suffering miserably, still he was so proud. He was preaching. And foolish people became his disciples, and he still has a disciplic succession even today. Harivo. But he died. Miserable death, and became a ghost. And he would harass in his ghostly body people who would offend Vaishnavas. And during that time, this was such a well-known story, that as soon as people felt a ghostly presence within them, they would think, I must have offended a Vaishnava. Rup Kaviraj has come. That's what he's famous for today. Krishna has made himself so easily available in his holy names. Congregational chanting is so wonderful. So pleasing. Because with the help, with the support of one another, we become more and more detached from our egoistic pursuits in life, and we become more and more attached to selfless devotional service. And to the unlimited mercy, beauty, and opulence of Krishna in his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Let us take these ideals in our hearts and live in pursuance of these ideals. Humility, service, compassion, and love. Love for Krishna. And to express our love for Krishna in everything we do, everything we speak. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatat bhakti rahaiti kitvai. I do not want wealth. I do not want pleasurable company with the opposite sex. I do not want fame and followers. I do not even want liberation. My ideal is birth after birth after birth. Unconditional devotional service will be mine. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We will perform Harinam Sankirtan at this time.